In the 29th Psalm, David writes as follows, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king for ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord." This is a psalm that has much to speak of the voice of the Lord. It opens with this wonderful introduction where it encourages us to give unto the Lord. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And this call to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, to praise him, to worship him in the beauty of holiness, is with regard to the content of the rest of the psalm. Because this is the God who speaks. Because this is the God who speaks in righteousness, who speaks powerfully, whose voice is full of majesty. Because this is the God whose voice breaketh the cedars, whose voice divides the flames of fire, whose voice shakes the wilderness, whose voice maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests, and in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Because this is the God who speaks and has a voice with such power, he deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves the glory due unto his name. This giving and this message of the glory of God envelops this sevenfold account, this sevenfold description of his voice. At the end of that description in verse 9, we read, "In his temple does everyone speak of his glory." Does everyone speak of his glory? We read in verse 3, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth." He is a God of glory. Glory is due unto his name. And in his temple, everyone gathered in his temple, in his presence, speaks of his glory. He is a glorious God. And he is worthy of our praise. Why? Well, we see the why in this sevenfold account, describing his voice and what he brings to pass when he speaks. He's due this glory because he is wondrous in his person and he is wondrous in his ways, because he is righteous and holy and merciful and gracious, because he brings out of nothing life. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests. Everything we see in this world, everything we have, every blessing of life, whether it is natural life or spiritual life, every blessing we have has come from this God. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He is the Almighty, the sovereign King of this world, of this universe, of all time and all eternity. He is the one who speaks and it comes to pass. He is the one who spake in the beginning and the earth was formed out of nothing, out of the void, out of the darkness. In the beginning there was nothing, and God spake, let there be light, and there was light. He spake and the earth was formed. He spake and the dry land was divided from the waters. He spake and living things were brought forth. He spake and the stars and the sun and the moon were put in their places. He spake and man was formed out of the dust of the earth. He spake and he breathed life into the soul of man. The same life which you find within your being. He spake in the beginning and Adam lived. He spake when you were conceived and born and you lived. He speaks every day and you continue to live. And there will come a day when he will speak and you and I will go from this world into eternity, and where we will stand before this God whose voice is upon the waters. And we will answer to him, and he will speak unto us, and he will either say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He will either say, thy faith hath made thee whole. He will either say, enter into my kingdom, or he will say, depart from me. If you've never heard the voice of the Lord, if you've never heard the voice of Jesus Christ, you can be sure that one day you will. You will, all of us, you and I, you will stand before him and you will hear his voice. And it will either be a voice of love and compassion and grace and mercy and blessing, as he blesses you and leads you forth into an inheritance prepared for you. He will either give you the strength of his people, and he will either bless you with peace, or he will speak unto you in judgment and wrath and anger and say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. You will hear his voice, and you will hear a voice which speaks fairly and righteously according to your deeds. If you have lived with your ears shut to the voice of the living God, if you have kept your eyes shut, if your heart has been set on everything but him, if all your life has gone in a different direction, then when you hear his voice, it will be a voice of judgment. But if there has come a day in your life when he has come across your path and intervened, and as you were running from him, and as you were cursing him, And as you were breathing out threatenings against him and his people, as the Apostle Paul did, as Saul did, perhaps there would come a day in your life when you will be found in your folly, found in your rebellion, found in the deadness of your sin. Turn from God. Perhaps there will come a day when he comes in his gospel with a voice that says unto you, live, and you will be changed forevermore. And all the deeds that you endeavored to do in rebellion to this Lord, all the strength that you endeavored to use to run from him as far as you could get, all the desire that you placed in other things, all your pride, all your sin, all your hatred, all your unbelief will melt away and will be washed as the one whose voice speaks unto you, comes unto you by his Spirit in grace and says, despite all that you are and all that you have done, I have loved you. When you were in your mother's womb, I loved you. Before you were ever born or thought of, I loved you. Before you ever came forth and grew and lived, I loved you. Before you turned against me and shook your fist at me, I loved you. Before you did those hateful and wicked things, I loved you. Before you went your own way in your own rebellion, rebelling against me, rebelling against authority, rebelling against those set above you, rebelling against friends and family, rebelling. Before you went your way in your pride, in your hatred, in your sin, I loved you. I came unto you in your blood, in your iniquity, in the darkness. And I saw you, and I loved you. And I took your sin, I took your hatred, I took your rebellion, and I laid it upon my own Son. And I judged him, not you. And therefore, when your final day comes, I will find no fault in you, because it's all been taken away. Perhaps that day will come for you. Perhaps it has come for you. Have you heard of God whose voice speaks in this way? Have you heard his voice in the gospel? Come unto you in the darkness. Come unto you in your rebellion and say, you're mine. You're mine. And I have forgiven thee because I have taken your sin and washed it away. If you have heard that voice, or if you hear that voice, if you come to hear that voice, if you come to know that truth, if you come to know that gospel, if you come to know that Saviour, then you will know the glory of this Lord. The glory of God. The glory of Jesus Christ. The glory of the Saviour. The glory of his salvation. And with all your strength and all your being, when the psalmist says unto you, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, you will give all glory and strength that you can give. Your heart of faith will rise up in thankfulness and worship, and you will say, this God loved me when I hated him. This God had compassion on me when I didn't care for him. This Saviour died for me that I should live when I deserved to die forever. He redeemed me. He suffered in my place. He went to the place where I should go. He went into the place of judgment. He placed himself under the fires of God's wrath where I should have gone, because he loved me. Because he loved me. And your heart will rise up and give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. True worship cannot come from any other heart. The dead sinner may hear this gospel, may hear these truths, may know of Jesus Christ, may know of the God who speaks, may know all the facts, but they have no faith in the heart. And they cannot worship. You cannot worship except you have faith. You can say the words. You can acknowledge what the scriptures say of God. But there's no holiness in your heart. There's no righteousness within. So your worship is of nothing worth. Your words are of nothing worth. You draw near with the lips when the heart is far from God. It's a deceit. It's hypocrisy. It's a lie. It's a deception. It's an appearance before man to appear righteous, to appear holy. It's a striving to come before God by your own works in your own glory and say, well, I say this and I do this and I attempt to worship like this. Aren't I worthy? When the heart is full of sin and rebellion, if there's no faith there, there's no holiness there. But if God has come your way, as I have said, and the Spirit has come into your pathway and spoken grace and life unto your soul, if he's quickened you unto life, if he's spoken forgiveness unto your soul, if he's led you to the cross and a Saviour crucified for sinners, if he put faith in your heart, then your worship springing from faith will spring from that life which has been cleansed in the blood of Christ, a life which is full of righteousness, a life which is holy. And your worship will be the worship of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, because he is holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. Because he is holy, if you're his, you're holy. You're one with him, you're wed to him. You see his beauty. And as the bride of Christ, you share his beauty. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Oh, what a wonderful introduction to this psalm. Oh, what glory is due unto his name. Oh, what glory. But as I say, the psalm envelops this sevenfold description of the voice of the Lord with this call to give. And these words at the end, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David exhorts God's people to give unto the Lord praise. But he does it because the Lord has already given them strength. He's already blessed his people with peace. Until God gives you strength, until God blesses you with peace, you have no strength to praise him, no ability to worship him of whom you do not know. But if God in his gospel comes unto you and gives you who are so weak, so dead, so empty, strength and wisdom and grace, if he blesses you with peace, then you will in return give unto him the glory due unto his name. Give unto the Lord, for the Lord will give strength unto his people. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth The Lord is upon many waters. This God is a God of glory. He is a God of glory. He's glorious in all his being and in all his ways. But his glory shines forth in its brightness through his Son and the work of his Son in bringing this strength of whom the psalmist speaks and this peace unto his people. The glory of God is seen in the salvation of sinners. The glory of God is seen in the redemption of sinners. And the voice of God is full of activity in bringing about that redemption. We spake of the voice of God in creation. And the voice which brought this natural world into being is the same voice that speaks and a dead soul lives. It's the same voice that brings forth the new creation. It's the same voice that speaks and dead sinners live. It's the same voice. And there's the glory of God in that he comes unto sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. And comes in the person of his Son, who takes their sin, and takes the judgment of their sin, and takes the judgment and the sin away, that as a consequence, he can speak, and they live, and they come forth from the grave with him, without any sin. Oh, what glory there is in his salvation. This sevenfold description of the voice of the Lord is not merely some random description of various aspects of God's almighty power. It's not David simply speaking of various aspects of how wonderful God is, how mighty God is, how strong God is. But it is a sevenfold description that speaks in essence, of the glory of God in the gospel. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. It begins. And it ends with the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. Now the voice upon the waters is the same voice of the Spirit of God which went upon the waters in the beginning, the same voice which brought about the creation, and the same voice which judged this world when man fell into wickedness, and God sent judgment at the time of Noah and poured forth the rains upon the world in judgment and flooded the world. It's the same voice which comes forth in judgment. And it's the same voice which will cause sinners in the last day to be plunged under the waters, as it were, to drown them, to judge them because of the iniquity of their sin. It's the same voice which comes upon the waters of our iniquity, which comes and speaks unto sinners and either speaks blessing or cursing, either speaks life or death, either speaks forgiveness or judgment forevermore. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, speaks of God's judgment and his righteousness. For that's where the gospel begins. The voice of the Lord, which makes the hinds to calf, speaks of life, speaks of the bringing forth of life. And that is the end of the gospel. That's the purpose. It begins with righteousness, and the result is the bringing forth of life. Life from the dead. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory, this God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. This righteous judgment is like the sound of thunder. It's fearful. When we first come to hear God's voice, this is where it begins. O sinner, have you heard God's voice? If you begin to hear it, this is where you'll hear it. This is where it starts. An awakening, an awareness of where we are before Him. A sense of His anger against sin. You cannot begin with the voice that makes the calf, that hinds to calf. You must begin with the first voice which sounds, the first utterance, the thundering of God's judgment. Now many take the things of Jesus Christ and His gospel and try to water it down in a manner that they can present to dead sinners, to convince dead sinners that they are actually saved and to get many into their meetings. They turn the gospel into something which is easy and palatable to rebellious hearts. And they say to the wicked that God loves them. To all the wicked, to all mankind, God loves you just as you are. And they present a gospel that brings all the desire of your heart in this world to continue in your sin, coupled with an entrance to heaven by believing on Jesus Christ. And in so doing, they remove and silence the voice of the Lord, which is upon the waters. They skip past the God of glory that thundereth. They ignore the Lord upon many waters, because this is fearful and this is offensive to the natural heart. But if you're ever to know the voice which speaks grace and mercy and peace, if you're ever to hear that voice that says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, you will first hear a voice of judgment. A voice that thundereth, a voice upon many waters. You will first know and feel and sense the depth of the iniquity within your own heart. You'll see the waters within, and you'll begin to feel yourself sinking beneath the waters of your own sin. You'll begin to know that you are drowning and dying, and you'll begin to call out and cry out for help, because then you will discover that though you thought you were mighty, though you thought you were strong, yet you are without strength. The psalm opens, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. That is addressed to the one who has faith. But without it, you will discover that you are anything but mighty, though you thought you were. That you have no strength, though you thought you were full of strength. That all is not well, though you thought there was peace, peace when there was no peace. You will discover a voice which speaks like a sound of thunder, and you will feel and sense the depth of iniquity within, depths into which you are plunged. Depths which go over your head, depths in which you drown. And if God awakens your soul and speaks, if you hear that voice from the depths of the waters, you'll begin to call unto the voice which is upon the waters. Do you feel a voice echoing down through the waters of your iniquity into your ears? Are you drowning? But can you hear a voice? The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Two more descriptions. It must be powerful for this voice to sink down through the many depths of water, through the many layers, the many feet, the many miles of the iniquity that's above your head. It must be powerful if it can reach into the hard and the dead hearts of men and women like you and I. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. This voice which is upon the waters, this voice which is so powerful it can speak and the whole heaven and earth was brought into being, this voice which can speak to the hardest of hearts and bring even the worst of sinners unto eternal life, this voice which is so powerful is full of majesty, because this is the voice of the Lord that sitteth upon the flood, the Lord that sitteth king forever. He speaks, his voice is upon the waters, because he sits and reigns over the flood. He's above and over the sin of mankind. He reigns over this world. He sits king forever. And this king from his sovereign throne speaks. And his voice comes down into the depths of this world. It comes into your soul. It comes down through the waters of your sin. It comes powerfully down into the heart. And you hear a voice which is full of majesty. Because if you ever hear this voice, you're hearing the voice of a king. You're not just hearing words on a page. You're not just hearing the words of a preacher, though you may hear the words of a preacher. But if you hear this voice, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Spirit of God, the voice of the Son of God, if you hear that voice, you're hearing a voice full of majesty. You're hearing the king. And when he comes unto his people and speaks, he comes unto them and speaks their name. And they who are so small, so poor, so weak, such nothings, hear the voice of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, calling their name in the darkness. There they are in the darkness, sinking down in the waters, drowning, dying, and a voice calls their name. There they were, lost, thinking they had no escape, no strength. They discovered where they were. They came to discover what they are and where they were. And here's this voice calling. And it's a voice of majesty, full of majesty. It's the King calling. If that doesn't melt you, I don't know what will. Oh, the grace and the mercy of God that he will speak to such wretched sinners by name in the darkness, in the floods, upon the waters. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. Now this God who speaks in righteousness, this God whose voice is upon the waters, this God whose voice is powerful and full of majesty, this God, so described, is a God that breaks the cedars, that divides the flames of fire, that shakes the wilderness, and as a consequence, makes the hinds to calf. Now, what is this? But a threefold description of the judgment of God against sin at the cross in his own Son Jesus Christ. He breaks the cedars, he divides the flames of fire, he shakes the wilderness, and as a consequence the hinds bring forth calves, and the forests are discovered. You see, he's breaking the cedars, he's breaking the trees. And we know throughout the scriptures the importance of the trees. Man, when he was created in a garden, surrounded by trees. Told he could eat of the fruit of every tree, but not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were two great trees in the garden. The tree of life, of which if he'd eaten, he'd have lived forevermore. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He chose to turn his back upon his God, as you and I have done, and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, eating of that wisdom of man that turned us from God in our own pride and our own rebellion. And it cursed us. Eating of the law, the do's and the don'ts, go this way and do this and you will be righteous. Try it, striving to make ourselves right before a holy God, rather than coming humbly under him and coming under Christ and eating of the tree of life. We ate of that tree and it cursed us. It brought forth the judgment of God. And that judgment is upon our heads and will be upon our heads if it's not answered by another. But the gospel makes known a saviour who came and was nailed to a tree in the place of sinners. He was nailed to a tree upon which he bore their sins. He was nailed to a tree upon which the writing of the ordinances of the law, as pictured by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, were nailed and taken away forever. He was nailed to a tree. And he broke the cedars in being so nailed. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. When he was nailed to that tree, in order to take a people and cause them to be planted by the waters as trees of righteousness. When he was nailed to that tree, in order that he should bring forth life, cause the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. In order that he should take a great company of people and plant them by the waters and bring forth a forest of trees of righteousness, wed with him, one with him. When he was nailed to that tree, the Lord God sent forth his judgment against his own son in fire. He took their sin and made him to be it. He took their sins and laid them upon him. And the consequence was his wrath, his anger, his judgment poured down from heaven upon his own son. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. When Adam and Eve, having eaten of that tree, were cast out of the Garden of Eden, cast out, there was a sword which turned every way that prevented them entering in again. And you could only enter back in to such a place if you went through that sword and went through the fire. Well, the voice of the Lord broke the cedars of Lebanon. It took the tree and it broke it. It took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which cursed us, and destroyed it, and took its judgments away. Took the handwriting of ordinances which were against us. They were nailed to the tree of Christ, to the cross, and they were taken away. God broke the cedars, and he divided the flames of fire, which poured down in judgment upon his own son. And as a consequence, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. He shook the wilderness. There we were, cast out from the Garden of Eden, cast out the other side of the burning flaming sword, cast out into a wilderness. There we were in the wilderness, and here we are by nature in a wilderness, outside of God's garden, outside of God's glory, no means of getting to the tree of life, no means of entering into his forest, no means of bringing calves forth in life, no means of living, no means of salvation. We're in a wilderness. But the same God whose voice is upon the waters, the same God whose voice is powerful, the same God whose voice is full of majesty, the same God whose voice breaks the cedars, the same God whose voice divides the flames of fire, shakes the wilderness. His voice shaketh the wilderness. He comes to us in the wilderness and in the darkness in his gospel. And because Christ died, because he was nailed to the tree, because he divided the flames of fire, because he swallowed up the judgment, he brings his gospel into the wilderness and speaks by his spirit in the darkness of this world. Wherever you may be, you may have run as far off from God as you possibly can. You may be hiding in the darkest wilderness. And when his voice comes, skipping across the waters, entering into the darkness of your soul, entering, breaking through the cedars, breaking the flames of fire, it will come, shaking the wilderness in which you dwell, shaking the wilderness of your soul, shaking the wilderness of Kadesh, and it will come in as a powerful storming blast. And it will come in the end, because of all that he spake, and all that was done, and all that this voice is and has said, it will come in to your soul, and the voice of the Lord will make the hinds to calve and discover the forest. It will bring forth life in your dead soul if you hear this voice. That's the consequence. That's the result of the breaking of the cedars, the dividing of the flames of fire, and the shaking of the wilderness. That's the result of this voice which began upon the waters, which thundered, which is powerful, which is a voice full of majesty. When this king comes with his voice into your wilderness and speaks, then hinds will calve. There will be life. Your dead soul will live, and it will skip, and it will leap up, and it will find itself planted as a tree beside the waters in a great forest, surrounded by other trees, all of whom lift up their arms, lift up their branches, lift up their leaves in praise and glory unto the God that gave them strength and blessed them with peace. In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Have you heard this sevenfold voice? Has he come into the darkness? Has he come into the wilderness of your soul? Has he come in through the depths of the waters of iniquity in which you found yourself drowning? Has he spoken to you? Has your dead soul brought forth life? If he has, then you, gathered into his temple with his people, will speak, as with everyone, of his glory. Of his glory. Because the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. You were drowning. You were in darkness. You were flooded. You were as those in Noah's day when the rain came, when you were wicked, when you weren't in the ark, when you were drowning. The rains came, the storms came, the judgment came, and it was swallowing you up, and you thought you were gone. And this God comes in the darkness and speaks and delivers you and puts you upon dry ground. And you find him sitting up above the flood, over above it. He's over it. He's not under it. He's not like the wicked. He's not affected by it. He rules over all. And you see him sitting upon a throne, the king forever. And having heard his voice, you can say and you know that the Lord will give strength unto his people. I was there, I had no strength. I was lost, I was drowning, I was dead. And he heard, and he came unto me, and he spake, and I heard his voice, and he delivered me. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Oh, what a consequence. What an effect of this voice. That here we are. This God gives unto his people. And he blesses them with peace. Oh, do you know the peace of God's salvation? Do you know peace within your heart? Or are you troubled on every side? Where are you today? In your heart, is there peace? Do you know that all is well with God? Do you know that all is well with your soul? Do you know God's salvation? Do you know the Saviour? Do you know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you heard him? Do you hear him? Do you hear him each day? Are you walking with him? Are you living with him? Are you journeying to that day and that place where you will live and reign with him forevermore? Is your soul at peace? Or is there a warfare within? Is there trouble within? Do you fear? Do you know you don't know God? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that your heart is flooded with iniquity? Do you know that God will find you wanting in the end? Are you full of fear? Or are you listening in those waters for the sound of a voice upon the waters? Are you listening for a God of glory who thundereth? Are you listening for the Lord who is upon many waters? In the depths of your darkness, can you hear that voice in the gospel upon the waters, speaking peace unto your soul as he leads you by faith to a sight of a Saviour nailed to a tree, who broke the cedars, who divided the flames of fire, who shook the wilderness, that his people might be brought forth, that his people might be made a forest, that his people might be gathered into the temple, where everyone speaks of his glory. Do you know, have you heard the voice of the Lord? Amen.